Okay, confidence. We're going to talk about confidence today. And some people have like phenomenal self-confidence, right? Like they have abilities, they have skills, they think they can do anything. Other people, not so much. They don't have any kind of self-confidence and they don't have any confidence in their abilities, even the most simplest of tasks. And most of us kind of fall somewhere in between of both of those. We're going to talk about having a better confidence today, better than self-confidence and better than no confidence at all. But we understand what confidence is, right? I mean, I remember years ago, I was serving at a church where we brought the power team in, and there are these huge muscle guys, and they break stuff and bend things and then share the gospel. And it's pretty entertaining. So one night, they had told us we had to get hundreds and hundreds of pounds of ice. And so we got these ice blocks, and they're just huge. You know, they're like 4 foot, 6 foot tall, massive, like 4 feet, 6 foot wide. And I've got this whole team, and there's some adults and some youth that were helping with this team, getting everything set up each and every night. And one of the power team guys, they brought their own chainsaw. He brings this chainsaw over to me, and he presents it to my team, and it's got the biggest blade I've ever seen on a chainsaw. This thing is like almost 4.5 foot long. It's huge. And he puts it down and he says, okay, we need these ice blocks cut into 1 foot sections. Okay, goodbye. And walked away. Now, do you know what happens when you cut ice with a chainsaw? I don't either. So we're all looking around like, Now, here's where confidence comes in. Some of the teenagers who are there are like, back up, I got this. Have you ever had a chainsaw before? No. Do you have eye protection? No. Yee, overconfidence, so much confidence. And then we found one of the guys who was good with a chainsaw, one of the adults who had eye protection. He came and he started making cuts, but he sent one of the teenagers to go get the power team members to make sure that it was cut correctly. And the one teenager, he had so little confidence, he wouldn't even go over and say, can you guys come over and help us and see if we're making these cuts correctly? He had no confidence. Right, so we had that whole spectrum of so much self-confidence that this kid probably would have lost an eye, to no confidence that he wouldn't even go and talk to the people. And they were a little intimidating because their muscles were like larger than my trunk, and but he couldn't even go in and talk to them. Well, neither of those is healthy, and neither of those is helpful. And a more balanced approach is okay. It's good to have. However, there's something even better than a balanced approach in your own abilities, realizing your own limitations. There is a better confidence. How can we have a better confidence in this life? A confidence that doesn't come merely from our skills and doesn't come from our lack of skills. How can we have a better confidence in this life? Now, if you're at home, what I'd encourage you to do is on Facebook or on YouTube, I want to know what are some of the hardships you are facing in life right now? What are some of the hardships in life you are facing right now, if you're willing to share those with us? As we're about to see in Philippians, we saw that last week Paul is imprisoned, presumably to wait his meeting with Caesar, with the emperor, and he is imprisoned because of the gospel. And so let's pick up the text right where we left off, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Read along with me in your Bibles. He says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ." Okay, so he is likely chained to a Roman guard, so he has to ask permission just to move. How difficult that is. And yet Paul, he's saying, look, instead of being frustrated with this and talking about my rights and how unjust this is, instead he sees his hardships as an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how can we have better confidence? We can have better confidence by realizing that whatever hardships we face, God is using to spread the gospel. Any hardships we face is an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with other people. Let me give you an example of this. A number of years ago, when I first came to Traverse City, I was driving along. I was about a quarter mile away from my apartment, actually probably even closer than that. And all of a sudden, my engine fell out of the bottom of my car. True story. I didn't realize what had happened. Something was going weird, like the dials were going nuts. So I pulled over. I'm like, oh, what's going on? I'm all frustrated. And I'm angry at this point. I'm like, man, I've been working hard for the Lord. I've been working hard for his church. I'm exhausted. I just want to go home. I'm less than a quarter mile away from the house. Couldn't I have just made it there? And the engine fell out of the bottom of my car. I'm livid. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And this mechanic stops the car, and she gets out. She says, hey, I'm a mechanic. Let me take a look and see what's going on. You're leaking a lot of fluid. I don't understand what's going on. She's looking at this thing. She can't figure it out, and I'm doing everything within my power not to blow up. I'm just so angry and so embarrassed, right? And so she goes, oh, I'm sorry. You know, you should call a tow truck, right? She takes off. Then a neighbor who I hadn't met yet, he comes out, and he's trying to look at it and help me, and I'm just like, just leave me alone, you know, kind of thing. And eventually, he can't figure out. He takes off. Another guy stops by. He lives right next to me. I've met him before. And hey, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, you know, I had a mechanic look at it. I don't know. I'm furious. Then my wife stops by and she's like, I think we got to bite the bullet and get a tow truck. And I'm like, you know, it cost money and everything. I'm so angry at the whole situation. And meanwhile, I'm over here praying like, man, God, what are you doing? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to serve your church. I'm trying to build your kingdom. Why would you do this to me? Do you know what God was doing? Do you know why he let the engine fall out of the bottom of my car? Literally, it did. It literally fell out of the bottom of my car. Do you know why he let that happen? In retrospect, I know exactly why God let that happen. He let that happen because that mechanic who stopped by, he wanted me to share the love of Christ with. He let the engine fall out of the bottom of my car so that that neighbor I'd never met, I could get to know and build a relationship with. He let the engine fall out of the bottom of my car so that the neighbor who lived right next to me, I could have said, hey, by the way, you know, I'm a pastor of a church. Would you like to attend? This is where we are. Come out to church. It's you know, it's a bunch of weirdos like me. All are welcome. And you're dressed fine for it. You don't have to get dressed up in all fancy. That's why God let the engine fall out of the bottom of my car. And I missed that opportunity. Don't be like me when you face hardships. When you face difficulties, God is allowing you to go through those hardships in part so that you can further the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that you can share the love of Christ. Be more like one of my friends. I had this friend back in New York. And she had gone through breast cancer, and it was really difficult, really hard, but eventually they got taken care of, and her doctor actually said, you will never see this again. I'm so confident. I can't. This is the greatest treatment process we've ever had. 5 years later, it comes back, and she is utterly devastated, understandably so. Why am I going through this, God? Why would you allow this to happen? After everything everyone said, I gave you the praise and the glory and honor, and I've been faithful to you. And she told us, her friends, she realized shortly after why she had had it, because she was sitting in the doctor's office, pretty miserable, but not totally crushed because she had the hope of Jesus. And as she sat around, she saw people who were utterly devastated. They had no hope. They were incredibly lost, lost spiritually, lost emotionally, lost physically. And she began to sit next to them as the treatments went on and built relationships and was able to share the hope of the gospel with them. That was why, according to her, God had allowed her to get cancer again so she could share the hope of the gospel with people who had no hope. There's nothing good with cancer. But she realized that she could share the hope that she had, that it isn't just in this life. There is a hope in the life to come. Some of you might be at home saying, well, wait a minute, isn't following Jesus supposed to make my life easier? No, it's not. That's an Americanized version of the gospel. The reality is that we live in a fallen, messed up world, and everything is liable to break. Everything is liable to fall apart. And in the midst of all of that, though, we have the hope of Jesus Christ that if we trust in him, his death, burial, and resurrection, his atoning work for us on the cross, that we don't have to fear condemnation from God, that we can be adopted into God's family, and we can be welcomed into God to do his kingdom. kingdom work in this life so that we can see the fruit of it in the life to come. You are invited to be a part of something bigger than yourselves, where your hardships and your struggles can be used to further this coming kingdom that is already here and not yet here. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so whatever hardships you have, we can have confidence. How can we have better confidence? Better than in ourselves, better than no confidence at all. You can have better confidence by realizing every hardship you have is an opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to spread the love of Jesus Christ. Let's see what some of the hardships that people are facing right now. Wow, we got a lot of them. Hopefully I'll hit all of them here, but Jane says walking with a bad knee, right? And Jane, I hope I'm not breaking any confidence here, but you've said over and over again when we talk on the phone that maybe the reason God's doing this is I can share the love of Jesus with people. That's what Paul would say. He's in prison. You've got knee issues and you're seeing all sorts of people you normally wouldn't see. Yes, it is an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with other people. And you've said that already. Praise God. A Barbie's knee replacement. Yeah, that is incredibly painful. And Linda says, hardship from being restricted from regular activities because of fear. Absolutely. Marge says, Don's knee pain. Shelly says, spouse's illness. Yeah. Casey says, stress fracture in my foot. Steve says, the hardship I'm facing most right now is not being able to spend time with family members who are opting not to be safe during the pandemic. It's hard. Haley says, praying for healing amongst all the injured, fear to be no more and everyone to be safe during these crazy times. Yeah, thank you for that prayer, Haley. Amen. And yeah, hey, Titus, good to have you guys here. So all of those hardships, they're hardships. I'm not going to minimize your pain. They're all terrible. But there are also opportunities that God is calling you to creatively use to spread the love of Jesus, to spread the gospel of Jesus. Realize, have confidence, grow your confidence now, realizing that God knew that this was going to happen before the foundations of the earth, and this is an opportunity not for us to have self-confidence, not to show how strong and smart and wise we are, but instead to show our weakness and boast in the power of Jesus Christ and boast in his gospel, whether that's through phone calls, whether that's through social media, whether it's through the doctors you're coming across or the people that you're seeing in the grocery store. You have opportunities now that you didn't otherwise have to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can have greater confidence, better confidence, by realizing our hardships are to spread the gospel. We can use our hardships to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? It's not just to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us something else. And what I want you guys to do at home is, if you're willing, what difficulties has sharing the gospel caused you in the past? It most certainly has. What difficulties have you faced when you've tried to share the gospel in the past, or you've tried to live according to Christ's moral code? What difficulties has Jesus caused you in the past? Go ahead and write those in Facebook and YouTube as well. Oh, I see Shannon Moore. Hey, welcome over here on YouTube. Good to have you and the family here with us today. Paul continues. In verse 14, he says, most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking that they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, we can have greater confidence by knowing that sharing Jesus is worth whatever difficulties it causes us. Sharing Jesus, living for Jesus, is worth whatever difficulties it is going to cause you. That will grow our confidence. We will have more confidence if we realize that if I share Jesus, it will build my confidence. Now, not in myself, but in God. Now, here's the thing, right? Paul, he's writing from prison of all places, prison. And he is saying, it has grown your confidence. And what's weird is he's saying, there are some that preach Jesus out of genuine motives. Others are preaching Jesus to cause him trouble. Now, what I think is happening here in Philippi and other places is, I know this is a shocker, but even 2,000 years ago, the churches weren't fully unified. And there were some leaders within those churches, usually like house churches, lots and lots of house churches. There were some leaders in those house churches who weren't in it for the greatest motives. They weren't there to serve the people. They were there because they were trying to grab onto power and have prestige within the church and have other people serve them. I know it's shocking that that happened 2,000 years ago. Even more shocking is that happens today, doesn't it? I know it's not shocking at all. If you have a subscription to Twitter or any other place, it seems like every week there is another pastor who has fallen away because they were preaching Christ out of false motives, out of selfish motives, trying to elevate themselves instead of elevating Christ. And it's frustrating, right? I mean, I think about it right now in the 21st century, last, I don't know, I want to say 20 years, there's been what I'll call the church growth movement. And that sounds good because I want to grow the church. I want more people to know Jesus and to follow after Jesus, right? And so do you. But a lot of the church growth movement, what I call, it is targeted at the way you grow your church is you basically advertise your church as the better church in town. So you're not really reaching the lost. You're not discipling people who don't go to church. Instead, what you're doing is you're trying to go to other churches and saying, nah, your church is lame. No one would say that out loud, but that's what they essentially are communicating. Your church is lame. Our church is the new deal. Look how attractive we are. Look at our hair, how beautiful it is. Look at all of the great, you got to come to the cool church, not your old stuffy church. Who cares about those relationships you've built up over decades and decades? Come over to us. We're cool and hip, and your commitment level is really low. So come on out, right? It's very, very difficult, and it's not helpful, and it is kind of anti-discipleship, isn't it? Now, there are obviously times where you need to leave your church if they're not preaching the true word of God, or they're doing things that are abusive, spiritually or otherwise. I understand that. But generally, other than that, I encourage people to stay at your church. Stay until you have until you no longer have influence, right? Stay as long as you have good relationships. And this whole church growth movement, it is damaging the church and has damaged the church over the last two decades as people shuffle from place to place to place to place. It is anti-discipleship, and it frustrates me to no end. However, Paul says, you know what? At the end of the day, people are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people are being saved. Praise God. Even in some of these megachurches where you've seen the pastors fall and the congregation is hurt, and it takes a lot of discipleship and a lot of work with them to kind of restore them. However, there are people who know Jesus right now because of the work that they did, and we now know that they did it out of false intentions, trying to build their own name, trying to build their own economy. And however, Christ is still preached. People were really saved. And to that, Paul would say, praise be God. Paul says we can have confidence if we realize whatever difficulties we face because of the gospel are worth it, however it hurts our life, however it damages us. I remember when Krista and I moved here about 9 years ago, the decision to move here, we knew this was going to financially destroy us. It was. We knew that it was. We suspected it was. And I remember as we were praying through the whole thing, I said to God, we said to God, God, if this financially ruins us, we're going to trust you and we're going to go. And you know what? God didn't disappoint. It financially destroyed us worse than we thought. There were things that we didn't even anticipate. I mean, it took us like 4 years to get on like solid footing. I described it like people are like, hey, are you still above water? And I'm like, no, but we have a straw, right? So we're underwater, we have a straw. It was horrible. And I'm not telling you that to pity you so that you could pity us. I'm not saying any of that. We said that beforehand. And you know what? God was faithful. He provided for us at the last minute quite often for 4 years, which was a stressful place to live, but he continued to provide for us so that our needs were met. And it was an incredible blessing, and it was obviously worth it. Following Jesus is worth it no matter the cost. Following him is worth it no matter the cost. What are some of the difficulties that you guys have faced as a result of following Christ? Let's see, Andrew says, alienated from friends and coworkers. Steve says, loss of friendships and being alienated. Mike says, they don't receive what you share about Jesus and they walk away. Marge says, made fun of. Jane says, family being hated because of faith in Christ. Sonia says, turn your attention to those God has already softened in their hearts. Pray for others. Don't dismiss the power of prayer. Amen. Yeah, we need to pray. Shelly says, they did not happen to me, but to a coworker. She got called in the office because another coworker turned her in for talking about God and handing someone a tract while working. Yeah. Hey, Michael, welcome. Good to have you here. And over on YouTube, let's see if anyone had any more comments. Nope, I'm not seeing any extra comments on YouTube. But yeah, there are difficulties along the way. And Paul would say, it is worth it. Whatever difficulties it is going to cause you, it is worth it. So, how can you have confidence? You can have greater confidence, better confidence, if you realize that spreading the love of Jesus is worth whatever difficulties it causes you along the way. But it's not just that our hardships, we don't just have confidence because we know that our hardships are opportunities to spread the gospel. And it's not just realizing that spreading the gospel is worth whatever difficulties it will cause us along the way. It's something else. And by the way, here's the thing. I know with myself, it's like, man, to follow Jesus, I'm going to have to give up everything. And the truth is that, yes, sometimes you will have to give up everything. But the truth is that you and I, for the most part, God doesn't call us to give up everything. He'll call us to give up maybe a toxic relationship, maybe a job, maybe some of our finances, maybe some of our social standing or our respectability within a community. Rarely does God call us to give up, does he force us to give up everything to follow Jesus. I think really, if I'm being honest, I say to God, I don't want to give up everything, but really I'm saying, I don't want to give up anything. I don't want to give up anything. Lord, my free time is my free time. My finances are my finances. My friends are my friends. My video games are my video games. My movies are my movies. I don't want to give up anything to follow Jesus. And the reality is it's worth it. Whatever we have to give up in order to follow him, to be faithful to him. And when we do, we find that he is faithful and will provide for his children when we choose to give up things, even if it's a job, even if it's respectability, in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus with a world that desperately needs it. It's your mission. He's invited us to introduce people, to welcome people into the kingdom of God, into God's program, to be a part of transforming this warped and dying world. But like I said, it's not just, we don't have confidence, greater confidence, better confidence, just because we realize that our hardships can be used to further the gospel, not just because it is worth following Jesus no matter what hardships it causes us. But there's one more thing that we see here that Paul talks about in verse 20. He says, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that as now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am torn between the two. I long to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound. So Paul here, he's saying, look, everything in my life and everything in your life should be focused to honor Jesus. Everything. So his whole point is here, look, and if I was Paul and I was writing this letter, this would have been the first thing I started with, but it's the last thing. So those of you who are home and going, I don't know about all this. I don't know if I want my life to be about all this. He's saying, no, your life's purpose is to honor Christ. How can you have better confidence? By realizing that your whole life's purpose is to bring honor to Christ in everything you do. By the way, at home on YouTube and Facebook, go ahead and write, what are some of your life goals? The simple ones, like, oh, I want to go visit Sleeping Bear Dunes sometime. I want to score 100% on Super Mario World. Like, the little things, but also the big things. What are some of the things on your bucket list? What are some of the things that you want to achieve in this life? What are some of the frivolous things, the big things that you want to have or do in this life? Go ahead, share what some of your life goals are. I'd be interested to see. Paul here, he's saying, look, ultimately, everything we do needs to honor Jesus. And if that is what you keep in mind in everything that you do, you will have a greater confidence because you will know that you are fulfilling your life's purpose and everything that you're doing. And what's incredible here is Paul is saying, you know what? At the end of the day, I am so in Christ right now that I don't care if I die. In fact, I would prefer that. Now, this isn't suicidal tendencies. He is realizing that following Jesus might very well get him killed by Jesus's enemies. And he's saying, you know what? I'm fine with that. And you know what? I know that to live with Christ would be better than to live in my current situation because he's chained to a guard, because he has to relieve himself in front of another human being who he doesn't know. It's hard stuff because he is physically tormented. I would love to be with Christ right now, but he realizes, you know what though? My brothers and sisters, you need me right now. And so even though I desire to be with Christ far more, I'm encouraged to stay with you right now so that I can serve Jesus here in my life. Boggles the mind. And he says this, which we all have heard this verse, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Write that down everywhere you go. Write it on a note card. Keep it in your wallet. Keep it in your purse. Put it on your bathroom mirror. To live is Christ. To die is gain. That was his cry. He says, everything I do is to honor Christ. My wife and I love to play board games. Haven't played them as much as we used to, but I remember back in California, we were playing with some good friends, and they're like, oh, we got this new game. You guys got to play. And we're like, okay, we'll play the game. What is it? It's a card game. Fine, we like card games too. It's called Mao. Oh, what's Mao? This does not sound like it's going in a good direction, guys. Are you guys laughing because you know what the game is? Yeah, it's the most obnoxious, worst game in the world. The way Mao works is they have a deck of cards, they give you a bunch of cards, and then they're like, okay, go. All right, well, what's the rules? Well, we're not allowed to tell you what the rules are. You just have to go. You're like, okay. So you throw a card down, and everyone starts screaming at you that you're doing something wrong, and then you have to take more cards, or they take cards away from you. And the whole game is that you are trying to figure out what in the world you're supposed to do with this game. I don't know what the goal is. Am I supposed to have the most cards? Am I supposed to have the least cards? Am I supposed to get diamonds? Am I supposed to have face value cards? I have no clue what the game is, and everyone's yelling and screaming at you, throwing things at you, taking things away, and you're just like so stressed out because you don't know what the goal is. It's an incredibly stressful game. That's the way most of us are living life. What's the goal? What do you want to accomplish in life? The particulars are going to change for each of us, but ultimately, as Christians, our life goal, and whatever we do with our life goals, ultimately, everything we do needs to bring honor to Jesus. And if you have that in mind, if I live my life, if I am sitting down playing video games, if I am going to work, whatever your job is, say you're working at Burger King, which is a good and respectable job. If I'm working at Burger King, my life goal is to bring honor to Jesus in this situation. If you're going to school, my life goal is to bring honor to Jesus. If you're unemployed, my life's goal right now is to bring honor to Jesus in this situation. If you change your mind, if I change my mind, if you change your mind, then we will have greater confidence realizing that whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can bring honor to Jesus and we are fulfilling our life's goal, our life's purpose. We can have better confidence if we choose to make everything about bringing honor to Jesus, our whole life, everything that we do. Now you might be at home saying, well, okay, does this now mean that we all have to quit our jobs and become like go like join church or parachurch or become an evangelist or something? No, absolutely not. Wherever you find yourself, seek to bring honor to Jesus. I'm curious about what some of your life goals are. Let me look over here. Mike says, Mike and Barbie, to travel. Yes, traveling is wonderful. Casey says, backpack across Lower Michigan on the North County Trail. Oh man, that's awesome. I love that. Steve says, I'd like to write or illustrate a children's book. I'd also like to travel someday. Wow, I never knew that about you, Steve. It's been, what, 9 years since we've known each other? No clue. That's fantastic. I love that. And by the way, Chris and I were talking about your art abilities just recently. And she's like, I didn't know that. I'm like, yeah, it was really cool. So that's wonderful. Jane says, take a vacation on a train. Oh, cool. That's a great idea. Tori says, finish school, but got to start first. LOL. I love it. And not seeing any comments on YouTube, but I was monitoring YouTube just for the record. All of those things are wonderful goals, and you can choose to honor Christ in all the things that you do. So even if you're hiking and you're by yourself, or if you're hiking with a group, you can choose to honor Christ in what you're doing. You honor Christ in what you're doing with your thought life if you're by yourself. You honor Christ in how you communicate with the group if you are with a group. You honor Christ with how you live when you go to school by applying yourself correctly, by not overworking yourself to the point of perfectionism, and by relying on Him and by sharing the love of Jesus with your classmates and conducting yourself as a Christian when you're in the class, even digitally. So Paul says, you can have better confidence, if you realize that everything you do should bring honor to Christ. Again, whether you're playing video games, whether you're watching TV, whether you're at work, whatever your job is, and by the way, I think all jobs are important. I think all jobs are of so much dignity and so much worth, and so don't be ashamed of your job. It is part of God's good gift. And if you're like, hey, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life, you don't have to, but or maybe you will, maybe you won't, but you know what? Honor Christ in that job. It's your mission right now. So Paul tells us we can have greater confidence, better confidence, not just self-confidence, not self-loathing. We can have better confidence when we put our confidence in God, when we realize that our struggles are an opportunity to share Jesus with others, when we realize that sharing Jesus with others is worth whatever hardships it's going to cause us, and when we realize that we can honor life. We should honor Jesus with everything that we do in this life, whether it is trivial or whether it is something really important. If you do that, you will have incredible confidence. Because this is the deal. It's not self-confidence. It's confidence that comes from God. I know sometimes it's hard to distinguish. Am I being confident in God or am I being confident in my own abilities? Because by the way, it's okay to have some confidence in your ability, right? Like if you know how to weld, you should have confidence in your welding ability. If you don't know how to weld, you shouldn't have confidence in your welding ability, right? We have to evaluate ourselves correctly. But in this life, if we want to truly build the kingdom of God and change this world from the inside out, to join God in His work of transforming this world, if you want to, you can't do it on self-confidence. You have to do it on God-confidence. And the way you know that is from where your confidence comes from. Is it coming from yourself and your own abilities, or is it coming where you're saying, God, I am in a situation, I don't know how to love these people, I don't know how to share your gospel, I don't know how to share your love, I don't know how to live within your ethical boundaries in this situation, I need your help. In your weakness, Christ is strong. God, I need to rely on you. And when you do that, you will find that God will accomplish things through you that you never would have been able to accomplish. His power is made perfect in your weakness. You will see Him do things through you you never thought possible. Have better confidence. Have the confidence and the image that Paul sees and says, where he sees to live is Christ, to die is gain. I know we're going through a lot of things right now. If your life is hard right now and you are a Christian in Christ, God is giving you an opportunity to work for His glory and for your good. Let's pray. Father, as we're about to take the Lord's Supper together, I pray that you will help focus our minds on Jesus Christ. Help us to truly have the attitude of Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain, so that we are fearless in life and fearless in death. Help us to realize that whatever we have to give up to follow Jesus, it's worth it. And that all of the pain and all of the suffering and all the hardship and all the angst we have right now, we have opportunities in the midst of that to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This isn't the time to cause division. This isn't the time to rail with rage and anger about the way things are. Instead, this is a time to give people hope that there is a God in heaven who sent his son Jesus Christ, who has come to transform the world now and is coming to transform the world in the future. And he did that through the shedding of his blood on the cross. As we are about to take the Lord's Supper together, I pray that you will remind us of that reality. That because of Jesus, the kingdom of God is here right now. And it is coming in power in the future. We have hope. We have purpose. We are confident. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our works, but in the work Jesus completed on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.